This is the Impunity Observer podcast. Fergus Hodgson, publisher here. I'm with my colleague and research director, Paz Gomez in Ecuador. If you have not already, please subscribe to our YouTube channel or subscribe to us on our podcast page. We have a monthly e-newsletter. Please get on that also. Paz Gomez has led a fascinating and, in my view, almost cartoonish, well, the story is cartoonish. She's led an important investigative report regarding greenwashing in Colombia. The headline is Colombia's Greenwashing, Venezuelan Regime Steps In with Fossil Fuels. Now, Paz, so good to see you today. How on earth did you come across this story? Because you really seem to have scooped other media outlets.
Well, thank you, Fergus. It's really good to be here talking about the investigation and also incorporating more time to the Impunity Observer project, which is something that I really like a lot. So it's nice to be here again. And well, the Colombia story was something that one of the topics that I like a lot to be aware of is energy. So in that way, I was aware of all these political propaganda, if we can say, about energy transition in different Latin American countries. But one thing that have sound to me like weird was the narrative that Petro used, because it was very similar to some of the narratives that I have listened in as an Ecuadorian citizen when the Correismo was in office here, and what happened here with some of the natural resources industries that were kind of seized by the government, and that produced basically the collapse of those industries and not the progress. So that is something that attracted me from the narrative I listened from Petro, and then the different things that I saw in my brief investigation that I did at the beginning. And that is why I wanted to delve into the topic.
Right. So basically you're just saying you had a sense by the talk that was being thrown around at a superficial level that there was a much deeper story going on.
Yes, exactly. So you can see these kind of details and these kind of signs that tell you that if there is no the dominance or a great portion of participation of the private sector, something is going to get wrong, especially if you see that there is also some signs that a government wants to expropriate or be more involved in the industry.
Yeah, so in some ways it was almost like where there's smoke, there is fire. And I'll read the subtitle here. Please go to impunityobserver.com for the full article. The subtitle is Gustavo Petro, Colombia's president, dupes investors with bait and switch energy transition. So why is this a bait and switch? What is the trick here?
Well, basically, part of the effort to generate this energy transition program is to attract foreign investors' money. Petro already on December, he already announced that there is an investment portfolio in different projects that the government is promoting for creating energy transition projects, wind power plants, and things like that. But the thing is that something that we say in the investigation, and that is also replied by different experts, is that the energy transition is not only establishing a wind power plant and a solar power plant, but it is also changing all the infrastructure. And one thing to have into account is that in Latin America, and Colombia is especially benefited by this, we have basically hydropower plants. That is the main source of our energy, is hydropower plants, is hydroelectricity. And this is not ideal because of the weather conditions that can affect the energy security supply. But it is not fossil fuel energy neither. So in this sense, first, he is dupping investors in the narrative, because Colombia is not the main country contaminating the world with fossil fuel energy. And second, he is trying to do these kind of signature projects to say that during his administration, he did something for the energy transition, but he is not promoting the complete energy transition program per se, because as I tell you, this would need distribution and new distribution lines. Even it would need training for the people that right now operate in the traditional, if you want to say it like that, energy industries, and need to move to these green energy industries. It is also important to say that part of this is because Petro has pledged to transform Ecopetrol, that is now the largest oil company in Colombia and basically owned by the state, but it has almost 9%, a little bit more of 9% of the ownership in pension funds and private investors from the Bogota and New York stock exchanges. And basically, he is saying that Ecopetrol is going to become the leading green energy firm in Latin America. However, Ecopetrol, what is happening is weakening because of the mismanagement that has been during his administration. And secondly, if this Ecopetrol weakens, it would not finance the transition of the company and of the country. So basically, these are the three points that relate with, confusing the investors.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. And just to point out that this is not necessarily a partisan problem. This program began under Ivan Duque, the preceding president. Now, it has been expanded by Petro, Gustavo Petro, but it was initiated by the previous president, who I guess is allegedly center-right. It's hard to describe them. So, okay. Now, in some ways, the program in Colombia has been towards some kind of drastic change. But on the other hand, there has been a ban on new oil, coal exploration. But on the other hand, there has been really not one bit of hope that the wind and solar would make up for the, let's say, the shortfall. And this is where there's a little bit of spice to the story, where Gustavo Petro made an agreement with the Venezuelan dictatorship to have supplies from Venezuela. Now, would you clarify, does that agreement still stand? What is the nature of that agreement?
Yes, well, just to comment on what you said before, this green energy or chamber that exists in Colombia estimates that, for instance, installing a wind power plant takes 9 months, but licenses and permits, even if the government is promoting these energies, could take up to 6 years. So, of course, there is also one thing that you can see where this transition is not becoming real in the short time. And regarding the agreement with Venezuela and Venezuelan oil company PDVSA, it seems that Petro took advantage of this time window in which the U.S. government lifted the sanctions from PDVSA and signed this agreement. And this agreement basically says, first, Colombia can import gas from Venezuela, natural gas. And second, it should start operating the agreement on 2025 because they expect a shortage of energy of 17%, something like that, for the year energy supply. And they want to ensure energy security with this. However, it seems that this agreement could not be possible if the U.S. government do not continue with this lift of the sanctions. And the first lift is a temporary lift, and it ends in this month on May. I guess that we should have the information about this really soon. And now the U.S. the Venezuelan government has not said anything about the new opponent candidate. So we have to see what is going on there and what the U.S. government is going to do. But basically, it seems that Petro used this time period as an advantage. Or what has happened after we released the investigation is that the droughts, because of the El Niño phenomenon, became worse. And this led to actually being in energy shortage in Colombia. last week or 2 weeks before, Petro just suspended first the energy export to Ecuador because they needed this energy for their country. And they even declared some energy blackouts during the vacations that they have because of the Labor Day that here in Latin America we celebrate on May 1st. So basically, Petro is already creating this environment of energy shortage, which could also lead to putting pressure on this agreement. What is the thing here is that this has happened in other countries led by socialist governments, in the sense that they try to do contracts and try to do agreements with the ideological fathers of these government models. I remember when the Correísmo was here in Ecuador, we used to have this kind of contracts with Venezuela, and we used to have this kind of contracts with Cuba. We did with Venezuela in the petroleum sector and with Cuba in the with kind of contracts with doctors. So the same happened some years ago with the Caribbean islands and Venezuela that used to provide oil. Now the Venezuelan oil sector is really, really harmed. But I think that this is kind of a way in which the Colombian government wants to contribute and support the continuity of the Venezuelan government and the Maduro's regime, basically. Yeah, that is part of the thing that we are identifying here. However, this agreement is not like in force yet, and we should see what happens with U.S. sanctions to see what is going on.
Yeah, that's okay. So let's just clarify. There was a window of withheld sanctions on the Venezuelan dictatorship, and during that window of time, Gustavo Petro forged an agreement, but that agreement is not set to be operational until 2025, and already he is suffering energy shortfalls, and has had to lead, that has led to blackouts in Colombia and impeded export of energy to Ecuador, and Ecuador is going through all sorts of energy crises of its own. Now, well, I'm proud of the way you scooped, or you got to the story in depth or investigative manner before broader or popular media outlets got to this topic. Now let's say that you are a big believer in wind and solar and want to see this energy transition. Are any of such believers, I'm not sure how many there are in this, let's say, investing in Colombia, have they spoken out and criticized this agreement with Venezuela? Have you heard any of that? Any pushback from, let's say, Gustavo Petro's supporters?
Yeah, well, first, as what you were telling before, this kind of summary of what I say, I would like to add one thing, that Colombia could have the opportunity to go and seek an agreement with any other country, not Venezuela. And in that way, they could ensure that they would have the energy supply they need this year and next year. But they risked to do the agreement with one country that could not even provide this fossil fuel supply because of the U.S. sanctions. So I think that this is very important and is something that investors should also see, to also look what is the priorities of the Petro administration. And regarding the interest of investors, it is that basically the world is moving from fossil fuels to energy. And we have seen that in different things, the electromobility, and also, of course, the demand for fossil fuels, especially coal, that is the main natural resource that Colombia exports, has been in decline. So regarding this, and there is also the other global phenomenon, that is that, of course, there are new industries, growing industries in the energy sector, in the green energy sector. And that is the reason why I believe that there are plenty of investors interested in financing these projects. Colombia has had a quite well reputation regarding business and investors' friendly environment. So I guess that it has been one of the main options to invest if you want to invest in Latin America. And that is the reason why, like, these two factors, the green energy as a growing industry and the factor that Colombia, it has been interesting for investments, has put Colombia on the investors' crossroads in this topic. However, we have also seen that investors have decreased the interest in Latin America, especially when this becomes with lack of legal certainty and things like that. So what I say in the investigation is that this Green Energy Chamber has identified that there are like $3 billion that foreign investors are willing to invest in Colombia, but they have halted to do those investments because of this legal uncertainty. So yes, there is interesting interest, but maybe they will go to other places, considering that Uruguay, Chile are also friendly jurisdictions that are also in this path towards energy transition, and maybe they are going ahead Colombia.
That's one of the key conclusions in your article, that the policy, or the, let's say that the tactics being employed seem to be driven more by, let's say, ideological affinities or relationships than by an actual desire to convert the energy sector. And one note was about, you mentioned, you quoted one expert in the article discussing, or he said that the actual time to build a solar or wind power facility was only about 9 months. But the time to get approval was, I think, 2 or 3 years. So the approvals were the real holdup, not the actual construction.
Yeah, and actually what you say is something that we have seen and is something proven in all industries and in all efforts of developing, right? Of development. And it is basically, if you want to like promote something, you can do it with tax incentives and policies that create this engine for the private sector and other sectors to go ahead with the government and build whatever you want. But the Colombian government, what it's trying to do is basically get the dominion of it. It is even trying to present a bill to Congress related the coal exploration, like to the same that Petro already said, that there is not going to be more coal exploration projects, but to just put it in a law. And it could even, they are even proposing in part of the bill that they can even expropriate the equipment related to coal exploration and exploitation. So you see that the signs and the way that the approach that the Petro administration is trying to use is less friendly with the private sector and with investors in that sense. And of course, it is creating more bureaucracy, more red tape. And this usually does not get to the goals that they want. Instead, for instance, Uruguay, as I briefly explained in the investigation, have tried to just promote, attract investors, and leave them create the different infrastructure and installations and whatever infrastructure is needed for the green energy plants by themselves. Like, once that they have the license that is very fast to get, just leave them do the whole work. And I believe that this is something that we usually see that it works better.
Yeah. So yeah, let me just restate the conclusion a little bit. And you've got a lot of information you've brought together in this paper. So I recommend people go to impunityobserver.com and look up Colombia's Greenwashing by Paz Gomez, her investigation. So, but one of the sort of key observations, or just putting the pieces together, conclusions, is that the motivation for the so-called energy transition is not so much an energy transition, but many other things. Like I said, propping up ideological allies, opening the gate, opening the door, or opening a path for more nationalization or appropriation of natural resources, and also, dare I say it, wealth redistribution from other countries towards Colombia. So to bring in foreign funds to bankroll passion projects of the current regime. So Paz, this is a wonderful report. I'm proud of it. Thank you for that. And if you have not already, listeners, please do subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. And you can also follow Paz. Tell us your X handle.
Yeah, my handle is M Paz Gomez M. And yeah, I invite everyone also to subscribe to the YouTube channel of the Impunity Observer, where we have been also producing more audiovisual content for you to get informed with all the content that we do. And yeah, if you subscribe, you will have the content right away.
Excellent. Thank you, Paz.